Thanks for joining us on the JX today. We'll start with a conversation about food and how what we eat has changed over time. If you lived in the 60s, you probably remember those TV dinners in the aluminum foil trays. American diets were heavy on fat, salt, and sugar back then. Not that they've changed greatly, but that's another story. The counterculture of the 60s countered the standard diet, along with a lot of other things. Our first guest lived the hippie lifestyle, explored and ate the foods hippies ate, and now teaches it as history. Diana Kugel is a longtime Applegate Valley resident, a writer, and a former essayist on JPR. Welcome, Diana.
Thank you.
Tomorrow night at 5:30 at the Talent Historical Society, Diana will talk about food for hippies and how they became food for far more than hippies. Chelsea Rose from Underground History, our resident historian and anthropologist, is here as part of the conversation as well. Welcome back, Chelsea.
Thanks. Excited to dig in.
So, Diana, let me ask you about when you, we were sitting here smiling about the introduction to the overall portion of the show because of referring to you as a hippie, because I didn't want to refer to you as a former hippie, because you don't really stop embracing the things that you embraced back then, right?
Yeah, I once said something about when I used to be a hippie, and the person I was talking to said, used to be, so, you know.
There we go. So before you got into the lifestyle, I mean, did you eat Franks and beans and TV dinners and all the stuff that we ate in the 60s?
No, actually, my mother did a very good job feeding her children, her five children. We ate the standard one meat, two vegetables, and a dessert and a salad practically every time. But my mother cooked. She didn't like to cook, but she did. And I was fortunate. I ate a pretty good diet when I was a child.
So did your diet then not change much when you started hanging out with I don't know, fellow hippies?
Yes, it did change. For one thing, we made our own bread. And we made bread with whole grains. There was no question about that. It was whole grain foods. And always the fresh vegetables. So my mother did a good job with fresh vegetables, but we didn't have a garden. And the hippie diet was one step further towards good eating.
Let me bring Chelsea in here to ask about just the general realm of food as a way of understanding a culture, because we do learn a lot about people from all times in history by the cooking vessels they leave behind and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, in archaeology, we're always excited to find animal bones or cans and bottles that can tell us about food remains. And I was thinking about this. The hippie diet is going to be very perplexing because it was all from scratch and hand-grown. So not as much is going to survive archaeologically. But it does, you know, it kind of is interesting the way that people's relationship with food changes. And when you're talking about your mother did a good job, my mom was a hippie, and I thought I was tortured because I had the peanut butter that was separated and the bread with seeds all in it. And all I wanted was Wonder Bread and strawberry milk, you know.
So you would have actually been counterculture.
That's right. That's right. And I mean, ironically, I really appreciate that kind of food now. But at the time, it was, you know, the generational divide. You can really see how people experience food differently, what they're rebelling against or embracing.
Chelsea Rose is with us on the Jefferson Exchange. Diana Kugel is here to talk about eating hippie foods as she did back in the 60s and 70s. And I can't imagine your diet has changed a great deal. It sounds like you were already sort of on a pathway even before you would have considered yourself a hippie.
No, that's true. I eat pretty much the way I did when I was a hippie.
I've certainly met people over the years who use names like nut bellies and worse terms to describe hippies. I mean, what foods would you say? You mentioned the baking of their own bread. What foods would you say are most associated with hippies?
Fresh vegetables, probably first and foremost. And again, this is pretty different from the way the generation before had eaten. So fresh vegetables, whole grains, never sugar. We could make desserts with honey or maple syrup, but never sugar. And there was an influence of from the East with Gomazio, for instance, the condiments that we used, brewer's yeast and Gomazio, which is sesame salt, the seaweeds, nori, and dulsin. These were always on the dinner table, which was not a table. It was frequently just a cloth on the floor, and we sat cross-legged on the floor. And I think that was a Japanese influence.
Wow. So all kinds of things that, I mean, I imagine when you entered the lifestyle, your mind was getting blown in a number of ways, but was food part of it, or was it just, since you'd had some exposure to something fairly natural, was it less of a shock in that realm?
It was less of a shock. It's not so much a shock as it was an expansion, and I just feel like our whole understanding of food and diet and cooking just expanded at the hippie movement, because we were looking for new ways to do things, new ways to do all kinds of things, and food was one of them, and ways to cook. So we started cooking with woks that, whoever heard of a wok before, and again, the fresh garden vegetables and foods.
When you ran into people who were not part of the lifestyle or didn't eat that kind of diet, what was the general response? Was it sort of like Chelsea with the "there's seeds in the bread" kind of thing?
Well, you have to understand, I lived on a commune. And communes were, there was this network of communes all up and down the West Coast. And so people traveled from one commune to another, and the diet was the same. It wasn't monotonously the same, but it was the same kind of approach to food in all of these communes. So I was, the interaction was with people who ate like me.
Mm-hmm. How many different communes did you live on? I count at least three in your experience.
No, I think you only count two.
Oh, two. Okay. All right.
What's the third one?
I don't know. I guess I overcounted or counted one twice. Chelsea, we were talking before the segment started, though, about your interest in communes as an archaeological thing. Have you had a chance to actually literally dig into some of the places where people lived together in the 60s and 70s?
No, not yet, but they are on my radar, and I've been thinking about more actively trying to document these histories. I mean, I've talked about this before, I think, but there was some vegetarian lumberjacks from the 1880s living a little bit north of the Rogue Valley, and so, you know, the ways in which people have been eating and centering that as like part of their identity has always been really interesting to me. But again, like what is going to survive? Like how much was meat involved? Or was most of the food that you were eating and serving like vegetarian? Or were you raising your own chickens? Like how did that kind of factor in?
So in the two communes where I lived, we were vegetarian. That wasn't always so in the communes. My late husband lived on a commune where he kept the animals and butchered the goats and, you know, and the chickens. So there were meat eaters on the communes, but the ones I lived on were vegetarian.
What about dairy? Was there a lot of eggs and milk and cheese?
Yeah, there was lots of eggs, milk, and cheese because this no dairy movement didn't come along till later. And there was yogurt. We were the first peoples in America to use yogurt on a large scale. And granola was hippie food. And so granola and yogurt for breakfast.
We are talking about the hippie diet. Diana Kugel will be presenting at the Talent Historical Society on Thursday evening, June 13th at 5:30. How the hippies fed the masses and changed the way Americans eat. We also have Chelsea Rose from Underground History in the studio. You can join the conversation with your emails to jx@jeffnet.org. But that's a major point right there about the fact that you were using yogurt, you were using some other things that have become much more common to the general American diet since that time.
Yeah, so that's the point of my talk is these foods that we take for granted now were not until the hippies kind of made them more mainstream, which is kind of strange to say because the hippies were moving against the mainstream and then they came back into it and it's all one flow. But yeah. Things that we talk about now, you can get fresh vegetables in the markets. You can fill up your own bag of granola at the market. All of these things actually started during the hippie era.
I actually remember my father discussing it as crunchy granola the first time we had this conversation. I think it was sort of like something he'd read about in the New York Times. And then guess what I had for breakfast this morning?
Well, of course.
And it's interesting how it is like cyclical in some ways, because I remember an oral history I did when I was working in my graduate work with a woman who lived outside. She grew up in the Applegate, and this is like in the early 19th century, 20th century. And then she went to town and had boughten bread for the first time, she said. And she was like, it was all they wanted to do was to buy bread because they've always had homemade bread and it was so boring. And I think the opposite now, that homemade bread and, you know, artisan bread has such more weight than like a pre-made store-bought bread.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember when bread was the day old bread at the supermarket in Levittown, New York. Two loaves of white bread for 45 cents, day old, and it was the kind of white bread you could mush together into a sponge and turn into shapes and things. Yeah. A couple of emails here. Paul on Sterling Creek says, "Great food for thought, no pun intended." Thank you all for the program. Thank you, Paul. And then somebody wrote in as Redneck Hippie. Says the biggest diet change from my experience in the 60s was going meatless, which was really difficult in the deeply barbecued South. Mm-hmm. You are from the South, Diana, and but did you do your communes there or here?
No. Communes in Georgia, I don't know. No, I lived on a commune in the Santa Cruz Mountains of California, and then Hokolo, which is in the Colstein Valley, and Chelsea, when you do your archaeology on the communes, you must go to Hokola and take me with you.
Okay.
And I will tell you stories as you dig up things.
Perfect. Sounds great.
So particularly to that part of it, though, your relatives back in the South, I mean, what did they think about this? Well, forget the lifestyle. I just talk about what they thought of the food you were eating.
Well, like I said, my mother was not, the food that I was eating was not your canned vegetables and so on. On the other hand, they never visited me in the commune, so they didn't have to sit on the floor cross-legged around the food spread on the cloth. I think it was, I don't think there was any contention about the food. It was all about the lifestyle. Uh-huh. And I guess the food was part of the lifestyle, but that wasn't the point.
Yeah, but they didn't visit you on the commune because they didn't approve of the lifestyle, it sounds like.
They did not approve of the lifestyle.
And I've been to your house and had meals with you, so I know you've kept the food, but you've also reincorporated chairs and tables into your life, right?
Yes, my guests now sit around a table.
Which reminds me, for tomorrow's talk, will there be chairs provided?
Yes, on the floor? I was there just the other day, and they told me all the chairs will be out here.
Not super authentic.
So as much fun as people might have made about the way that hippies ate and called them nut bellies and all that sort of stuff, I mean, there really were some real health benefits to the diet had been recognized and more incorporated into the mainstream now.
Absolutely. And actually, the hippies did not start healthy food. That kind of started in Southern California a generation earlier. And the hippies, especially in California, were taking over that understanding of health food. And the hippies were trying to find a better way to live in all sorts of ways. That's the reason we lived in communes. It was the reason that we ate the way we did. And the food was part of it. This turning against or trying to move away from, so it had to do with the Vietnam War and protests against the war and turning away from agribusiness and other materialist society.
Well, that was a big point of it, I would think. I mean, not just flavors, but also, like, you know, not go with the establishment, stick it to the man.
Yeah, it was a political statement, the way we ate. But it was also, so I think there were two parts to it. One was political, and so there was a political statement about eating vegetarian and all the other ways. And it was, there was a religious statement to it because it was a spiritualism. We were seeking spiritual ways as well, and the idea of it was a mysticism, and so the idea that we are all one, and the potlucks, there was always a potluck every event of the hippies, and this was a spiritual seeking, a kind of mysticism we were looking at.
Is it hard to find some of the things you found back then? I mean, I would think in a world where everything can get delivered in about 2 days, I mean, even some of the rarer spices you might have used back then are probably completely obtainable now.
Oh yeah. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Although, you know, the hippie world was its world, and so you could always go to the co-op and get what you needed because they were, the co-ops were set up to feed the hippies.
Final thoughts, Chelsea, less than a minute.
Oh, I just was thinking that this goes back to an Underground History episode we had about a new book called Holy Food by Christina Ward, and talking about the antecedents of so many of the foods that even made their way into hippie culture coming from religious movements around the world as well, which is really interesting, too.
All right. Chelsea Rose hosts Underground History here on the Jefferson Exchange. Diana Kugel is, we're calling her a former hippie and commune dweller. You're not a former any of you. But Diana will be giving the talk about how the hippies fed the masses and changed the way Americans eat. Thursday, June 13th at 5:30 at the Museum in Talent, the Talent Historical Society. Diana, thank you so much.
It was fun.
Chelsea, always good to have you.
Yeah, thanks. Good to be here.